it's kind of weird. Sunday night happened, and I don't think Baltimore was all that interested. And now Monday morning happens, and they seem pretty damn desperate. Hi, everybody. Mike out all week. He's back on Monday. Rico's here. Hatchett, Kenny, the whole crew. We got John Morosi at 2:30 to talk about Tiger rumors. And it looks like in the matter of, well, this show, Jack Flaherty's going to be dealt because he was scratched. Officially, he's not going to pitch tonight at Comerica, which is all good news, Rico. It's all good news. This is a time for Scott Harris to be a rock star.
It is, because I did it on Friday when we left. I didn't expect any of this. I really thought that, you know what, Scott Harris was just not going to make that move. He proved me wrong, because the word that I used last week was timid. It just didn't seem like he wanted to start the clock on this team. And now, you know, you have a few minor trades, but, you know, when you got John Paul Morosi saying, hey, the Scoobal thing, it has not gone away. There is still smoke there. They are still in discussions. Nothing is imminent, but they are talking. And now Flaherty getting pulled, and rumors that something could be happening today. Like, this is one where you're like, okay, maybe, just maybe, they saw things the way I saw things with this Tiger team. The pitching that you have is phenomenal. You love to keep them around, but you don't have the bats to support them. No, I don't think Javi Baez is going to keep hitting home runs every day.
But he didn't hit one yesterday. They got one hit as a team. And by the way, yesterday was like the perfect reminder, I think, for Tiger fans of why you trade guys, why you're not buyers or standing pat, why you get something for two, potentially, of the best trade ships in baseball, in Flaherty and maybe Scoobal.
And maybe I'm putting too much faith. Like, we talk about Scott Harris. Maybe I'm putting too much faith into Chris Fetterick, because I think that he could take a pitcher and really develop them and really get them to be better. We are seeing this over and over again with how he's working with the staff. I believe in this man. So if you have to hit the reset button again, I'm okay with that, because he's going to get young pitchers in there and he's going to get them better. So long as he's on this pitching, he's leading the pitching staff, I'm fine with this move.
So here's what we know. We know Flaherty's scratched, not going to pitch tonight. We know the Mets, the Astros, the Dodgers, and I'm sure more, all rumored to try to go get Jack Flaherty, which to me sounds like a bidding war, which to me sounds like fantastic news for the Tigers.
It was a great thing, because it's happening so close to the deadline tomorrow that, yeah, had you traded him last week, you probably wouldn't have gotten much. But, man, if it's almost to the point where I would wait until about tomorrow at 1 or 2 o'clock and just let teams sweat it out and play games of chicken against each other. Because if you're the Tigers, you have nothing to lose here, everything to gain if you do it the right way.
The funny thing is Tigers got two of the bat. You might never be in this position again. And you're absolutely right. The closer we get to the deadline, and that's why deadlines are great for a team like the Tigers, the more desperate teams get. And we keep hearing Baltimore for Scoobal. Well, maybe Baltimore didn't want to give up a Jackson Holliday, but then they wake up today and they realize, oh crap,
Holliday can't help us win a World Series.
Exactly. And oh, wow, we need pitching. And oh, wow, it's not like we can go get Crochet from Chicago, considering he's got an innings limit. So we're looking at one golden goose who might happen to win the AL Cy Young, and we got a ton of prospects that they want. Yeah. We might just have to keep pushing and pushing. And I got to be honest.
We make the trade, and we have a new ace.
From yesterday to right now, I have different feelings about Scott Harris. Like, I think he handled the Carson Kelly thing pretty well. Like, he went out, he signed a guy that got released from Arizona. Nobody wanted him. 4 days after he got released, talking about Kelly, Harris signs him, had a really nice season, and then you dealt him for two prospects that people claim they're underwhelmed by, a pitcher and a catcher, but, like, whatever, they're prospects. Now, he's got a chance to even, I think, strengthen his resume by trading a guy like Flaherty. And if he's able to pull off a Scoobal deal that all of baseball agrees went the Tigers' way and the Tigers so-called fleeced the birds, then I kind of feel in the span of 3 days, Scott Harris has kind of renewed his reputation.
Rieger, interesting you say that. That's how I was feeling last year at this time. Okay, you got Eduardo Rodriguez. You're going to get something for him, Scott. The question was, how much can you get from the Dodgers? And then I was let down. So the potential is there. Until I see that the deal is done, until I see the breaking news banner, no, you're not going to get the benefit of the doubt.
You say no, no, no.
Because, yeah, right, yeah, this is me, yes.
See, I listen to your guys' show way too much.
I need you to finish this. I need you to consummate this. I need you to make this happen. Not, he did this last year, and he left us, all the Tigers fans can just kind of high and dry because we got nothing. So, it's there. If he pulls this off, yeah, I will look differently upon him.
Absolutely.
But Rieger, you could ask David, you could ask Kenny, you could ask Mike when he gets back.
I believe
my
you.
My thing was, I gave him until this trade deadline to show me something. Last year, swing and a miss. The offseason, kind of a foul ball. Wasn't that great, you know, but, you know, foul ball, barely past the third baseman. This was going to be your third strike. This trade deadline, show me what you got. Show me what you can do. Because if you come away with nothing, then I really don't know what you do.
And I agree with you. We know he's going to trade Flaherty. I think we know that for a fact. So far, I've been impressed with the way he's handled business. Now, some people might say, like, wow, that's just obvious. You just wait till closer to the deadline. You create a bidding war. Scott, get back to work, please. It's a busy time for you. But I think so far up to this point, I've been impressed. But here's the other thing that I think Tiger fans should think about. And then we'll take some calls. John Paul Morosi at 2:30 to talk about the latest rumors. But I think either way, as far as Scooble goes, it's good news if you trade him. That means you traded him for a bunch of prospects that will be playing for the Tigers this week. And you may have revamped your entire infield. You don't have a third baseman right now. Maybe you get one in Mayo. You don't have a shortstop right now. Maybe you get one in Holiday, right? You revamp your entire infield, maybe the outfield as well, and you get to watch him for the next 2 months. So I think that's a positive. He's only making the deal if he thinks it's good enough. If you keep Scooble, which definitely could have happened as well, Morosi says it's 50-50, that means he only has 2 years of eligibility left, 2 years of term left. That means you got to be players in free agency. You got to go buy in the offseason because you're not going to keep Scooble just to waste him for 2 years. But either way, I think you're in a pretty good situation.
Well, see, Rieger, that's where the catch-22 comes in because Scott Harris is on the record saying, we will spend money when I feel like the core is there. Scooble would help you expedite getting the core ready. But so if you don't, what you're saying is, the young guys that we have right now, or maybe whoever you get for Flaherty, okay, we're ready to go. We're going to start spending money because that was me. You know, once Miggy's contract fell off, I'm thinking, you got a ton of money to spend. Like, come on. Like, seriously, let's go. Because, and they didn't. They just really, they're saving it. I don't know what they're saving it for.
I just refuse to believe. Maybe I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt. I refuse to believe you would keep Tarek Skubal and do nothing substantial in the offseason and essentially waste Tarek Skubal. Because if that's your mindset, you freaking trade him, obviously.
But isn't that kind
of, I refuse to believe it.
Isn't that kind of what you did this past offseason?
Maybe. I refuse to believe he does it again. 248-539-797. The ticket text, the exact same number. How are you left feeling? Flaherty's going to get dealt. I think that's pretty much 100%. Scooble, seeming like maybe the closer we get to tomorrow's deadline at 6, maybe he gets dealt as well. Morosi comes on at 2:30 to tell us more. How you feeling as a Tiger fan? And do you get it? Have you convinced yourself that it's now for the best to trade both these men? 248-539-9797. The ticket text, the exact same number. 97-1 the ticket. All right, John Morosi joins us next segment to talk Tiger baseball. He's the one that went on MLB Network today and said 50-50 chance to trade Tarek Skubal. Jack Flaherty, if you're just joining us, scratched. So you got to believe a trade there is imminent. And I got new news. I was looking at Jason Beck on Twitter. Ryan Kreidler spotted at Comerica Park. Now, he plays shortstop. So what do you think that means? Javi Baez getting dealt? Oh, sorry. Probably not. But maybe Mark Canna? Maybe Andy Ibañez?
Somebody. Yeah.
I mean, Kreidler can play second base as well. So it's going to be an interesting, fun day. 248-539-9797. Where are you left feeling? How are you left feeling knowing that Flaherty's pretty much gone? I know some fans were holding out hope that maybe you extend him, but I just don't think that was going to happen considering he's looking at the last big contract of his life. And I think if the Tigers were going to extend him, they already would have done it. You just don't not trade a guy, let him go to the end of the season, offer him a qualifying offer, and you get the comp pick. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure that's not the way to do business. So you either trade him and then try to re-sign him in the offseason if you want him back, or you extend him. And there's no talk of extension, so obviously you trade him. Like, I was listening to Mark Ryan yesterday, and he's like, well, you'll hurt his feelings if you just want to re-sign him in the offseason and you get rid of him. And Mark is like totally against that way of thinking. I'm like, well, what are you talking about? Don't you want to give Jack Flaherty a chance to go win a World Series? And then if he wants to come back, cool.
He could always come back.
Exactly. Or if he doesn't, then oh well, arrivederci.
Right. If he loves it here in Detroit so much, like, dude, we're going to send you someplace. Go get a ring because we're not close to getting a ring. And then we'll bid for you to get back. We'll put out a great offer. You know, keep your place, keep your house, keep your apartment. You will be back in 3 months.
248-539-9797. Ivory in Redford, you're on the ticket. What's up, Ivory?
Hey, good afternoon to you guys.
Hey, man.
How are you?
I'm all right. Try to be quick because I know you got a bunch of callers probably, but my thing is, look, in the ideal world, I wish they could re-sign Flaherty, extend him, re-sign Scooble, and extend him. You know, I know he has two and a half more years, but the reality is, you know, we have to get out of this, I call it fanboy way of thinking, in a sense that you want to keep these players, please don't trade them. You shouldn't even be considering it. But the reality is, as an organization, you know, you have to know that you can extend these guys, because it's not like Scooble makes $20, $30 million. So he makes pennies, pretty much, you know, as far as his worth. So you going down this rabbit hole of each year of, oh, okay, well, we'll wait till such and such to talk about extension later. And next thing you know, it's 2026.
Yeah, but Ivory, he's got an agent, unless he fires his agent, that the last nine times this sort of thing happened, he's gone to free agency. So I don't think they're able to extend them. Guys like Ken Rosenthal even said, you're not going to be able to extend them. So you got to wait till he turns 30. When he turns 30 and is a free agent and maybe has another arm issue, do you even want to extend them?
That's what I'm saying. That's part of what I'm saying is that in the ideal world, you don't want to lose him, but it's not smart, in my opinion, like to go, if you can, at his highest value right now, I'm not saying trade him for anything, get the proper value.
No, for sure.
But I'm saying, if you can get that proper value, I'm sorry. For me, he's a goner, because I just think that you're playing a dangerous game, keeping him past the deadline, and knowing that you're probably not going to be able to extend him. So at that point, well, what are you doing? You know, and if you trade Flaherty, in my opinion, man, you might as well package up Scooble right behind him, because what your rotation is going to be me, you, Rico, Jeff.
I get you five innings.
And you know what I'm saying? So. It's like, in the ideal world, you don't want to lose your best players. You want to build around them. I agree with Caputo and Mark Ryan in that regard. But the reality is, can you extend these guys? You can't lose these guys for nothing when they're making pennies.
But see, Ivory,
you know,
I also look at it on the other side, that I like what Federer does with his arms, that he gets.
Yeah.
He's able to develop them. So, you know, just like you saw, you know, Flaherty all of a sudden got a lot better this year under his tutelage. Maybe there's some younger arms that, given the opportunity, we will forget about these guys and they'll be moving on because we'll have everyday players and you'll actually have a legitimate shot of winning. I get what you're saying,
Ivory.
It's time to stop being a fanboy and look at the bigger picture.
Right. And one more thing real quick. You know, you don't have a shortstop for the future. You don't have a third baseman.
Yep.
You don't have a first, you know.
First baseman either.
How are you going to get, it's crazy to me that people look at this lineup and say, like, oh, yeah, you know, you got to build around these guys.
No, but Ivory, you know what it is? You know what it is? It's years and years and years of losing, and it's now easier to make the playoffs, and I appreciate the call.
Added to the fact that Riley Green, I love Riley Green, but it's starting to be a common thing that's really becoming a bad thing with him. Injuries, and then, like, he'll do good for, like, a three-month stretch, almost the all-star level. He was an all-star game. And then it'll go, like, every year, it's, like, good, and then for, like, a two-month stretch, he'll look like a bench player. He's a great player, but that's starting to be an elephant in the room as well with him on a positional player side. So,
Ivory, man, I'm with you. I'm totally – Ivory gets it. A lot of fans don't get it. But you know what it is? I do think people don't remember what winning actually is in baseball. It's been a decade. Mm-hmm. And now that it's easier to make the playoffs with that third wild card team, and everybody's in it. Go look at the National League. Like, every team seems like they're in it in the wild card race. I think people, like, fool themselves and trick themselves. Oh, we got a chance. See, you have no chance to make the playoffs.
But see, Rieger, I also wonder how much of this is just Tigers fans are gun-shy because – it seems like they never win trades.
I agree.
So therefore,
other than like the Dombrowski era,
right? If you're sending away somebody, it's almost you feel the doom and despair. Well, we've lost this trade. We just gave away somebody for nothing because they don't win. And you can't be a prisoner of the past. You cannot just simply say, well, because things didn't go well under Al and things didn't go great last year at the trade deadline, that there's no way that they can prosper, because I'll keep saying, different sport, but when the Lions traded their best player in Matthew Stafford, it jump-started this whole team, and where they are now, they would never be where they would not be Super Bowl contenders had they just held on to Stafford.
You're right. I mean, my goodness, using those two first-round picks, you got your franchise quarterback in Goff, you got J-Mo, you got Gibbs, you got LaPorta, you got Iffy. That's just four of the six dudes you ended up getting, which Brad Holmes was able to take those two first-round picks and obviously weave them into way more players. But 248-539-9797, very quickly, though, your point about being able to bring pitchers back, yeah, Scott Harris probably screwed up with Kenta Maeda, but last year with Michael Lorenzen, pretty good. Able to trade him for a good prospect. This year with Jack Flaherty, pretty good. Look what they did to Reese Olson. So don't worry so much about who's your rotation going to be.
We're not going to have anybody.
Right. Worry should be what your core is going to look
They'll
like.
They'll get a young guy in here, and before you know it, once again, you'll be like, wow, okay, this is going to work. Maybe it's time to bring up Jackson Jobe and see what he can do on the major league
level.
Nice.
All right, 248-539-9797. We'll get to the calls. We got ticket text as well. John Morosi, the man of the day, coming up next. And maybe he'll announce a Tarek Skubal trade or a Jack Flaherty trade. Or he'll just tell us all about it.
Maybe.
We'll do it next. 97 won the ticket. 97 won the ticket. Big day. It's trade deadline eve. And who better to talk to than the great John Morosi from MLB.com and MLB Network? The man of the hour. John, what's going on?
Hey, Jeff, how you doing? I would dispute that I'm the man of the hour, really, at any hour, but I nonetheless appreciate the invitation to be on the show today.
Hey, John, you're everywhere. You are the man of the hour. Just accept it.
Okay, well, I appreciate that. And, hey, listen, my big takeaway from this is that people love talking ball right now in Detroit, which always makes me proud and happy.
All right, so, John, you kind of shocked people, I think, and it feels like maybe Baltimore went to bed one way and woke up a different way. You went on MLB Network and said close to a 50% chance that Tarek Skubal gets traded. Do you still feel that way, or maybe you're even to a 60% chance?
No, I think it's a coin flip. I really do. And there are a few reasons why. I think, number one, the Baltimore Orioles, under new ownership, have enough prospects to get this deal done. Now, we can parse the list and say, would it have to include Jackson Holliday? Would it not? Coby Mayo is potentially a name. Samuel Basayo as well. They've got a lot of players. The Orioles have, I think, the best, not just the best farm system in the game, but the best young major leaguers in the game in terms of guys who are 24, 25 and younger. And not all of them can play every day. And Mike Elias, their GM, has done a magnificent job over a long period of time to accumulate all of this talent. And now it feels like, I think from a Baltimore standpoint, like it's time to go for it. That you've seen Jordan Westberg come up and make an impact, Colton Cowser as well. neither of whom I think would be part of a trade like this, because they're now part of the conversation and that major league lineup and roster. So they've got the pieces. And I think the Tigers, that what I've been saying, Jeff, all along is this. If the Tigers wanted everybody to know that Skubal was going nowhere, no way, no how, they would have said that by now. They would have at least said, we're not trading him under any circumstances. He's taken the mound for some pretty big games. Yeah, I realize the Tigers aren't necessarily in the thick of the wild card race, but they've been competitive. And if they wanted, from a standpoint of the overall idea to get into the playoffs and to shut out all the distractions, they would have said that by now, and they haven't. So I think there's at least that possibility there. The Orioles have the pieces, in my view, to potentially make this happen. We've seen the reports today about Flaherty getting scratched. A lot of things are in play. A lot of things are happening. And to me, it's a fascinating time to see what way they go. I'm not going to say that it's likely, because I think it's really close to a toss-up. It is 50-50 that it would happen, and I think you've got a very motivated team in Baltimore that clearly still wants to get an ace pitcher.
That voice you hear, that's John Morosi from MLB Network here on the Valeni Show with Rico. Rieger in for Mike. John, you're talking about the Baltimore team and their farm system. If I know you said it was 50-50, but if the trade goes through, how many pieces do you think Baltimore will be sending back to Detroit?
You know, that's an excellent question. I think you could see as many as four, potentially five, depending on how big the deal gets. And I would also add this, that it would not surprise me if Skubal isn't necessarily, if this happens, the only Tiger that would go the opposite direction. They might Wow. want one more player to come back. It's once you start talking about a deal of this magnitude, it very easily can grow. Even the Juan Soto deal, which is the deal that I've most compared this trade to, or hypothetically to, there was one more player that went in that deal in Josh Bell. So there are potential ways for the deal to grow. And what I like about this the most in terms of how big the deal could be is if it happens, and even if it doesn't happen, it's going to tell us a lot about where the Tigers are and where they think they are, what kind of players are getting back. Because if they trade Skubal and if they trade for Kobe Mayo, he's in the major leagues this week. He's a major league player. He's just not for Baltimore because they've already got all these players in the right. But he's a major league hitter. Jackson Holliday, they've sent him back down to the minor leagues. They've actually had opportunities to call him back up and haven't. If you notice, they called up Connor Norby recently to play second base. They could have easily called up Holliday again, and they didn't. So either they want him to keep working on things, or they think that other people are more adept at contributing to the major league club right now, which in and of itself is very interesting. Samuel Basayo has a catching background. I realize the Tigers just called up Dingler today, but Basayo is not—he's not the catcher of the future in Baltimore. Adley Rutschman is, and so there are players that you're looking around saying, "Are they the players that are in the Orioles system right now? Are they going to play ahead of anybody that they've already got?" And increasingly, for a lot of these guys, the answer is no. And that's Kyle Stowers is the perfect example. He's a good player. He's stuck at AAA right now. He is a major league player who has proven everything he has to prove in the minor leagues. He's already in his mid-20s. He's not a kid anymore. If the Tigers trade for him, he's in the major leagues this week as well. So as much as it's a painful thing for Tiger fans to think about and contemplate the potential of trading Skubal, if you show up to Comerica Park this weekend and three guys from a trade are in the lineup every day, it's not like you're getting four guys in A-ball, which
right.
is why
I have to watch them right away.
Kind of trade. Right, they're on the team right now. Now, I grant you this, that at some point in time, if they're trading Flaherty imminently, which is very possible, and if they trade Skubal, at some point they need some young pitching coming back, or just guys to start games for them. Because at the moment, as you well know, the rotation, because of injury and potentially now trades, is not exactly robust. I mean, they're having
bullpen days every other day.
Exactly, and by the way, that is not sustainable, Rico, from a standpoint of just health, okay? Like making sure that you're managing your pitching responsibly from now until the end of the season. So don't be surprised if at some point in time in the next 24 hours you hear the name of a veteran pitcher who's all of a sudden shown up on the Tigers' doorstep and you're saying, like, who's this guy? Well, they need people to start games. And I think that is, I think, a big question. The other dynamic, and this is, like, probably part one of a seven-part, like, biopic and series that we could talk about, is how does Torkelson fit into all this? And are they at a place where, and I'm just hypothesizing here, if he is someone that is valued more highly by other teams than he is internally, would you contemplate that decision? Because what I see happening now is if they were to make a move that brought back a third baseman like Kobe Mayo, for example. Well, then Mayo becomes your third baseman, and then Jace Young probably moves to the right side of the diamond along with Colt Keith, and then you've got Malloy as your DH potentially, in addition to anybody else they might get. Where's Torkelson going to play? And they've had, as you know, multiple chances to call him up in the last several weeks, and they haven't done it. And so I it would not surprise me at all. I'm not saying they're shopping him, but it would not surprise me at all if he is somewhere else by tomorrow night. Because there are probably other clubs that look at what he was out of the draft and say, there's a better hitter in there than what the Tigers have been able to find. And I'm not saying whose fault it's been one way or the other, but that is a classic change of scenery conversation that would not surprise me at all if a team is calling to try to get him away, because this is about the floor of what you could ever expect him to be, and it can only go up from here.
Talking with John Morosi from Major League Baseball Network, and John, the Tigers have pulled Jack Flaherty from today's starting pitching assignment. What would be the market for a pitcher like Flaherty?
Well, I think that right now they could get more than what they got for Lorenzen a year ago because of a couple reasons. I think number one, he's been really good. And number two, there are enough teams right now who need starting pitching depth that are contenders, that are going for it. Now, we saw the Dodgers and Cardinals made a move today. He was never going to go back to St. Louis, but the Dodgers theoretically could have been a potential landing spot. They got Michael Kopech from the White Sox instead. But the Astros, the Padres, it also wouldn't even surprise me if as the Tigers and Orioles are talking, I don't think that Flaherty's going to go back there, but there are various other pieces, maybe even bullpen pieces that could be involved with Baltimore as well. But there are enough teams, and even now with the latest news about Reynaldo Lopez in Atlanta, they might be all of a sudden interested in getting some pitching help because
97 won the ticket. Big day, it's trade deadline eve, and who better to talk to than the great John Morosi from MLB.com and MLB Network, the man of the hour. John, what's going on?
Hey, Jeff, how you doing? I would dispute that I'm the man of the hour, really, at any hour, but I nonetheless appreciate the invitation to be on the show today.
Hey, John, you're everywhere. You are the man of the hour. Just accept
it. Okay, well, I appreciate that, and hey, listen, my big takeaway from this is that people love talking ball right now in Detroit, which always makes me proud and happy.
All right, so John, you kind of shocked people, I think, and it feels like maybe Baltimore went to bed one way and woke up a different way. You went on MLB Network and said close to a 50% chance that Tarek Skubal gets traded. Do you still feel that way, or maybe you're even to a 60% chance?
No, I think it's a coin flip. I really do, and there are a few reasons why. I think number one, the Baltimore Orioles under new ownership have enough prospects to get this deal done. Now, we can parse the list and say, would it have to include Jackson Holliday? Would it not? Kobe Mayo is potentially a name. Samuel Basayo as well. They've got a lot of players. The Orioles have, I think, the best, not just the best farm system in the game, but the best young major leaguers in the game in terms of guys who are 24, 25 and younger. And not all of them can play every day. And Mike Elias, their GM, has done a magnificent job over a long period of time to accumulate all of this talent. And now it feels like, I think from a Baltimore standpoint, like it's time to go for it. That you've seen Jordan Westberg come up and make an impact, Colton Cowser as well, neither of whom I think would be part of a trade like this because they're now part of the conversation in that major league lineup and roster. So they've got the pieces. And I think the Tigers, that what I've been saying, Jeff, all along is this. If the Tigers wanted everybody to know that Skubal was going nowhere, no way, no how, they would have said that by now. They would have at least said, we're not trading him under any circumstances. He's taken the mound for some pretty big games. Yeah, I realize the Tigers aren't necessarily in the thick of the wild card race, but they've been competitive. And if they wanted, from a standpoint of the overall idea to get into the playoffs and to shut out all the distractions, they would have said that by now, and they haven't. So I think – there's at least that possibility there. The Orioles have the pieces, in my view, to potentially make this happen. We've seen the reports today about Flaherty getting scratched. A lot of things are in play. A lot of things are happening. And to me, it's a fascinating time to see what way they go. I'm not going to say that it's likely, because I think it's really close to a toss-up. It is 50-50 that it would happen, and I think you've got a very motivated team in Baltimore that clearly still wants to get an ace pitcher.
That voice you hear, that's John Morosi from MLB Network here on the Valeni Show with Rico. Rieger in for Mike. John, you're talking about the Baltimore team and their farm system. If I know you said it was 50-50, but if the trade goes through, how many pieces do you think Baltimore will be sending back to Detroit?
You know, it's an excellent question. I think you could see as many as four, potentially five, depending on how big the deal gets. And I would also add this, that it would not surprise me if Skubal isn't necessarily, if this happens, the only Tiger that would go the opposite direction. They might Wow. want one more player to come back. Once you start talking about a deal of this magnitude, it very easily can grow. Even the Juan Soto deal, which is the deal that I've most compared this trade to, or hypothetically to, there was one more player that went in that deal, in Josh Bell. So there are potential ways for the deal to grow. And what I like about this the most, in terms of how big the deal could be, is if it happens, and even if it doesn't happen, it's going to tell us a lot about where the Tigers are and where they think they are, what kind of players they're getting back. Because if they trade Skubal and if they trade for Kobe Mayo, he's in the major leagues this week. He's a major league player. He's just not for Baltimore because they've already got all these players in the right. But he's a major league hitter. Jackson Holliday, they've sent him back down to the minor leagues. They've actually had opportunities to call him back up and haven't. If you notice, they called up Connor Norby recently to play second base. They could have easily called up Holliday again, and they didn't. So either they want him to keep working on things, or they think that other people are more adept at contributing to the major league club right now, which in and of itself is very interesting. Samuel Basayo has a catching background. I realize the Tigers just called up Dingler today, but Basayo is not—he's not the catcher of the future in Baltimore. Adley Rutschman is, and so there are players that you're looking around saying, are they the players that are in the Orioles system right now? Are they going to play ahead of anybody that they've already got? And increasingly, for a lot of these guys, the answer is no. And that's Kyle Stowers is the perfect example. He's a good player. He's stuck at AAA right now. He is a major league player who has proven everything he has to prove in the minor leagues. He's already in his mid-20s. He's not a kid anymore. If the Tigers trade for him, he's in the major leagues this week as well. So as much as it's a painful thing for Tiger fans to think about and contemplate the potential of trading Skubal, if you show up to Comerica Park this weekend and three guys from a trade are in the lineup every day, it's not like you're getting four guys in A-ball, which
right.
is why
right. I have to watch them right away.
Kind of trade, right? They're on the team right now. Now I grant you this: that at some point in time, if they're trading Flaherty imminently, which is very possible, and if they trade Skubal, at some point they need some young pitching coming back, or just guys to start games for them, because at the moment, as you well know, the rotation, because of injury and potentially now trades, is not exactly robust. I mean, they're having
bullpen days every other day.
Exactly, and by the way, that is not sustainable, Rico, from a standpoint of just health. Okay, like making sure that you're managing your pitching responsibly from now until the end of the season. So don't be surprised if at some point in time in the next 24 hours, you hear the name of a veteran pitcher who's all of a sudden shown up on the Tigers' doorstep, and you're saying, like, who's this guy? Well, they need people to start games. And I think that is, I think, a big question. The other dynamic, and this is, like, probably part one of a seven-part, like, biopic and series that we could talk about, is how does Torkelson fit into all this? And are they at a place where, and I'm just hypothesizing here, if he is someone that is valued more highly by other teams than he is internally, would you contemplate that decision? Because what I see happening now is if they were to make a move that brought back a third baseman like Kobe Mayo, for example, well, then Mayo becomes your third baseman, and then Jace Young probably moves to the right side of the diamond along with Colt Keith, and then you've got Malloy as your DH potentially, in addition to anybody else they might get. Where's Torkelson going to play? And they have had, as you know, multiple chances to call him up in the last several weeks, and they haven't done it. And so it would not surprise me at all. I'm not saying they're shopping him, but it would not surprise me at all if he is somewhere else by tomorrow night, because there are probably other clubs that look at what he was out of the draft and say, there's a better hitter in there than what the Tigers have been able to find. And I'm not saying whose fault it's been one way or the other, but that is a classic change of scenery conversation that would not surprise me at all if a team is calling to try to get him away, because this is about the floor of what you could ever expect him to be, and it can only go up from here.
Talking with John Morosi from Major League Baseball Network, and John, the Tigers have pulled Jack Flaherty from today's starting pitching assignment. What would be the market for a pitcher like Flaherty?
Well, I think that right now they could get more than what they got for Lorenzen a year ago because of a couple reasons. Like, number one, he's been really good. And number two, there are enough teams right now who need starting pitching depth that are contenders that are going for it. Now, we saw the Dodgers and Cardinals made a move today. He was never going to go back to St. Louis, but the Dodgers theoretically could have been a potential landing spot. They got Michael Kopech from the White Sox instead. But the Astros, the Padres, it also wouldn't even surprise me if as the Tigers and Orioles are talking, I don't think that Flaherty's going to go back there, but there are various other pieces, maybe even bullpen pieces that could be involved with Baltimore as well. But there are enough teams, and even now with the latest news about Reynaldo Lopez in Atlanta, they might be all of a sudden interested in getting some pitching help because of their sudden rotation deficiency. So when you look at the landscape of Major League Baseball right now, the Brewers are another example. I would say the Yankees are another one. The right teams, the teams that are largely big market competitive teams that can drive a market, are all in need of a starting pitcher. So I think that Flaherty, he's been in the playoffs before. He's been traded before. I think he's a guy that would fit a number of different teams. So I would expect that the return the Tigers get for Flaherty will be a little bit above what they got last year for Lorenzen in infielder Hau-Yu Lee.
Hey, John, one more for you. And I wonder, let's say they keep Skubal, and there's a great chance that they do keep Skubal. What does the offseason look like? Because now you're looking at only two more years to try to get to the postseason or win a World Series with Tarek Skubal. So are we looking at Chris Illich and Scott Harris being massive buyers at the deadline? It can't be status quo. It can't be like this offseason because now the clock is ticking. So if you keep Skubal, does that indicate they got to go, correct? Yeah.
Or basically what Jeff is trying to say, are the next 48 hours kind of the definition of the Scott Harris regime?
Well, I think you guys are exactly right that you don't decide on your direction today and tomorrow without knowing what you're going to do in the off season. And listen, I look back at last off season as generally in terms of what they did with the pitching side of things, a generally successful plan. I know that Maeda has not thrown well, but you handed out two shorter term deals, and I know Maeda wasn't a 1 year deal, but you handed out two short term deals. Maeda has not pitched well at all. Flaherty has been really good. And when you're in free agency and pitching, basically you will take batting 500 on short-term deals any day of the week, and that's what they've done. So I think that is probably now incumbent on the Tigers to go down that approach again. You're going to have to keep supplementing because now we're at a point where can you trust Mize to ever be a 180-inning pitcher? What is Manning? From a health standpoint, what goes on with Olsen? There are a ton of questions there. And for all these reasons, this is another point in the column of why you're thinking about moving Skubal.
Right.
Because if you're not ready to go all in this winter, then you're talking about 1 year of him in 2026 to hopefully make a run at things. And I think that explains right now, if you don't trade him, you guys are exactly right. If you don't trade him, your show on Wednesday should be okay. Who are you going to get in the offseason to make this a competitive team relative to Cleveland and Kansas City and anybody else? Because if you're not, then you should have traded them. I mean, that's I look at it as a binary choice. You're either in it to win it for the next 2 years, or if you're thinking that you're only going to be in it to win it once, then you should probably trade him.
See,
that's what I see.
This is a very smart man, Rieger. Very smart.
He was
the
Harvard.
We talked to him.
Yes, of course. He's very smart. But I got one more for you. So what do you think the holding point up? Like, what do you think's holding this up? I know you say it's 50-50. You're not willing to go above that. But is it the Tigers are waiting for another prospect that the Orioles weren't willing to give? Is it the Orioles Well, you know what? We're not quite sure if we actually want to pull the trigger, but if we do, then we'll give you this. Like, what do you think the conversations are like right this second?
Yeah, it's a great question, and wouldn't I love to be able to tell you exactly what they're saying either way. But just for having covered a lot of these, I think that when you're talking about a true blockbuster, the way that things have happened to this point, it's all setting the stage for a blockbuster to happen. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but this is the kind of ingredient that you often see when it happens. And what I mean by that is this. You've seen sort of steadily, day by day, trades have been made. Sort of moderate to big in the case of three-team trade today. Arozarena was a big trade. Chisholm was a big trade. There's been some significant trades happened in the last few days. But when you have significant business that gets done well in advance of the deadline, like 24-plus hours before, it gives teams opportunities to be creative. And I think that's what's happening right now. Teams are getting creative. A number of executives today I was talking with are saying, hey, man, like we got a bunch of ideas out there. We are flooding the zone. People are going back and forth. And so that's good. That tells me that people are in a mood to make deals, that things could happen. So I think that in this situation, Scott Harris knows that he's got a piece that everybody in the industry would love to have. He knows that Baltimore probably has the best pieces of anybody to get him. And I think as a result, he feels like probably it's his job to hold out until the last possible minute. And Mike Elias and his people, they know. They know what the price is that they'd be comfortable to pay. They certainly know it by now. New ownership there, I'm sure, is probably encouraging them to really explore this. The last thing I'll say on Mike Elias is, and the one thing that might sort of work against a trade happening here, is he is a prospect guy. He was a scouting director in Houston. He helped build those teams that have been the ALCS all these years in a row. He loves prospects, loves them. And for that reason, it's going to be emotionally difficult for him to give these players up.
Yeah, but John,
that's why honestly, I'm not going to go out there and suggest that Torkelson could be part of a trade like this. But it wouldn't surprise me if that happened, simply because Elias would have seen him a ton as a college player, seen him play well, and said to himself, "Look, you guys clearly haven't been able to get much out of him. Let me take him as part of this whole transaction, and watch me, kind of the prospect guru, help him get back to what he's been in the past." That would not surprise me, just knowing how he likes to get prospects, and he would have seen Torkelson a lot. So that's just kind of one thing I've been thinking about in the last couple of days that would not surprise me as a longtime observer of such things.
John Morosi, great stuff. We appreciate you taking the time. We know you're in Philly for Phillies and Yankees, and thanks so much, man. I know it's going to be a very busy, like, 24 hours for you.
You got it, guys. We got the Yankees and Phillies tonight. And I'll be down in the camera well, field level. And you guys both know I can't have my nose into my computer screen too much because that's when the foul ball is coming.
Right.
So I got to have eyes on the field. But you guys can call me. If something happens, just give me a call, okay?
Will do. Right. You're the best, John. Thank you so much.
You bet. We'll talk to you soon.
Watch Phillies and Yankees. Check out John Morosi from the MLB Network, MLB.com, and we'll react to John. And listen, there's something on my mind after that conversation. We'll get into it. 97.1 The Ticket. Oh, baby, it is an honor and a privilege to be on the air right now, because just as we had John Morosi on, and you were kind of left with the feeling, at least I was, the very last thing that he said, talking about Baltimore's GM Elias and how he's a prospect hound and it's going to be tough, difficult and emotional for him to get rid of these prospects. And I'm thinking to myself, like, these guys aren't going to make the team next year. They're still blocked next year. So why wouldn't you trade them for Tarik Skubal? There's never going to be a better opportunity for Baltimore than right this second to win. So I'm thinking to myself, it's going to happen. And then I see Cody Stavenhagen, who covers the Tigers for The Athletic, does a tremendous job. Here's what he tweeted 5 minutes ago. Quote, "They ain't trading him," a rival executive told Ken Rosenthal regarding Tarik Skubal. "This should not come as a surprise. Tigers have listened to calls, but never been close."
Yeah, see, here's the problem I have with that. Anytime you get to a trade deadline to just be so definitive, oh, this is not going to happen, it's fluid. It may, because that rival GM could be sandbagging because that rival GM is trying to make the trade, so he wants everybody to back down. So, no, it's like almost like draft talk when you come out and say,
everybody's lying.
This team's going to take this person. Everybody is lying right now. Believe nothing. So when I see something that definitive, I'm thinking to myself, come on, you got to be smarter than that. Okay, seriously. The rival GM could be sandbagging and using you to drive the price down.
But Morosi also brought up a great point, and you and I have talked about it. You and Mike have talked about it. If they keep Scooble, the clock is on. We talk about how Scott Harris is off the clock, right? Doesn't want to start his clock. Wants to preserve his time before he makes a legitimate move. If you don't trade him, you only got 2 years. You better be buyers.
You got to go
You
all
better go
in.
Crazy. And if he doesn't, then what the hell are we doing?
Rieger, you probably going to have to spend about $100 million on players. Now, if you can...
Or trades.
But I mean, this offseason, as free agent, you're going to have to go out there. You're going to have to spend some money and spend close to $90 to $100 million just to really solidify this team if you're going to keep Scooble on this team. Now, if you keep both, maybe you try to re-up Flaherty. I don't think it's going to happen. But you can't go cheap like you did this past offseason and just kind of nickel and dime this thing.
248-539-9797 after hearing Morosi, after listening to all the rumors. How you feeling? Where do you want to be? Brian in Sterling Heights, you're on the ticket. What's up, Brian?
Yeah. Listen, who was the GM before Scott Harris?
Avila.
Right. And he worked under who? Chris Illich. Scott Harris currently works under Chris Illich. Same effing guy. Same guy, in my opinion. So instead of doing the dumb thing and making it rain Christmas in July, and let's make the sexy move and do something and shake it up, let's just for once be fundamentally sound, leave it the hell alone, and just keep the best player we got on this team right now and just go into next season, see what we got, and keep our heads level and let the offense grow another year next year. And maybe build a couple more pieces. You're going to get something back for Flaherty.
Brian, wouldn't that be irresponsible?
Olsen's going to be healthy, too.
If it's status quo, like you would almost think if Chris doesn't want to spend, wouldn't you think he actually would want to trade Scooble? Because if you did trade Scooble and you got yourself a so-called new core, you wouldn't have to spend as much in the offseason. It would be one of those years where let's see if the kids can play type deal. And while the fan base might be a little impatient, we would see if these kids can play. If you keep Scooble, you cannot have a similar offseason. That means Chris has to spend. So if he doesn't want to spend, you probably want to trade Scooble.
But, Jeff, as your buddy Bob would say, it's the right thing to do. And you have to just let this thing play out. Aren't you sick of seeing guys like Verlander and Scherzer leave town and go have success somewhere else?
But, Brian, you're not winning with him. You had Scooble and Flaherty all year long, and you're 5.5 games out of the fake wild card.
And by the way, Brian, hold on. But by the time, you know, Scooble's contract comes up, and let's hope that the young guys are now starting to develop, you're going to have to go ahead and pay this man a ton of money, whereas right now you're in control of his contract. So that's why either you win now or if you wait, then what was the point of waiting? Because you wasted 2 years on his arm as he's pitching for a team that has no contention of winning a World Series.
Brian, the most insulting thing you could do, at least for me, the most irresponsible thing you could do is keep Scooble, and as you say, keep everything status quo, give the offense another year to develop, and you're in the same exact spot, and you wasted a year of Tarik Scooble.
But you just said we're not winning now with him.
That's why you trade him. I would trade him in a heartbeat. The right thing to do is to trade him. And, Brian, it's right for both sides, and I appreciate the call, man. It's right for the Tigers because you can fill so many needs with one man that you might not intend to resign.
Here's what happened. For callers like Brian, I understand where he's coming from because you're sick of seeing your best players go other places and win. The problem is you're nowhere close to winning right now. So it would be irresponsible. If you're trying, let's just call it what it is. If you're trying to do this on the cheap, then trading him helps you keep it on the cheap because you have young players coming in straight out of the minor league system under player control contracts.
And it's also more beneficial for you right now and for the long-term future.
But the timelines don't match up. You can't play the young guys, but you got this Cy Young Award-winning pitcher because what you don't want is him to become the latest King Felix, where all of a sudden, he's pitching great, but he's got nothing to show for it, but just individual awards and not a team trophy, not a championship, not a winning a division.
248-539-9797. People want to talk. So you heard Morosi. We hear what Cody Stavenhagen had to say, saying a rival exec told Ken Rosenthal, no way in hell they're trading Scooble. So it's not like we've never done this show before, right? Would you trade him?
Oh, boy.
Should you trade him? It's such a no-brainer for me, but it's so crazy because people that disagree with me, it's such a no-brainer for them as well.
Or I guess, or maybe even, are you okay if it happens?
Yeah, well, how do people feel? Like, what if, and I know some people do not allow themselves to think this is possible. What if Scott Harris hits it out of the freaking ballpark? Yeah. What if he makes a deal for Tarek Skubal? Well,
think about it. John Morosi said, hey, hypothetically speaking, yeah, Baltimore could be sending you back 4 or 5 yes, players. Okay? That's a haul. That's a jackpot. Reason being, boatload. Let's just say only out of the 5, 2 everyday players become Major League Baseball players. That's 2 pieces of your core that you have locked right up.
And the other thing, too, is like Skubal is one guy that pitches every 5th day that you're probably not going to re-sign regardless. 97 won the ticket. Oh, baby, it is an honor and a privilege to be on the air right now because just as we had John Morosi on, and you were kind of left with the feeling, at least I was, the very last thing that he said, talking about Baltimore's GM Elias and how he's a prospect hound and it's going to be tough, difficult and emotional for him to get rid of these prospects. I'm thinking to myself, like, these guys aren't going to make the team next year. They're still blocked next year. So why wouldn't you trade him for Tarek Skubal? There's never going to be a better opportunity for Baltimore than right this second to win. So I'm thinking to myself, it's going to happen. And then I see Cody Stavenhagen, who covers the Tigers for The Athletic, does a tremendous job. Here's what he tweeted 5 minutes ago. Quote, they ain't trading him. A rival executive told Ken Rosenthal regarding Tarek Skubal. This should not come as a surprise. Tigers have listened to calls, but never been close.
Yeah, see, here's the problem I have with that. Anytime you get to a trade deadline to just be so definitive, oh, this is not going to happen. It's fluid. It may, because that rival GM could be sandbagging because that rival GM is trying to make the trade, so he wants everybody to back down. So, no, it's like almost like draft talk when you come out and say,
everybody's lying.
This team's going to take this person. Everybody is lying right now. Believe nothing. So when I see something that definitive, I'm thinking to myself, come on, you got to be smarter than that. Okay, seriously, the rival GM could be sandbagging and using you to drive the price down.
But Morosi also brought up a great point, and you and I have talked about it. You and Mike have talked about it. If they keep Skubal, the clock is on. We talk about how Scott Harris is off the clock, right? Doesn't want to start his clock. Wants to preserve his time before he makes a legitimate move. If you don't trade him, you only got 2 years. You better be buyers.
You got to go
all in. You better go
crazy.
And if he doesn't, then what the hell are we doing?
Rieger, you're probably going to have to spend about $100 million on players. Now, if you can...
Or trades,
but I mean, this offseason as free agent, you're going to have to go out there and you're going to have to spend some money and spend close to $90 to $100 million just to really solidify this team if you're going to keep Skubal on this team. Now, if you keep both, maybe you try to re-up Flaherty. I don't think it's going to happen, but you can't go cheap like you did this past offseason and just kind of nickel and dime this thing.
248-539-9797, after hearing Morosi, after listening to all the rumors, how you feeling? Where do you want to be? Brian in Sterling Heights, you're on the ticket. What's up, Brian?
Yeah. Listen, who was the GM before Scott Harris?
Avila.
Right. And he worked under who? Chris Illich. Scott Harris currently works under Chris Illich. Same effing guy. Same guy, in my opinion. So instead of doing the dumb thing and making it rain Christmas in July, and let's make the sexy move and do something and shake it up, let's just for once be fundamentally sound, leave it the hell alone, and just keep the best player we got on this team right now and just go into next season, see what we got, and keep our heads level and let the offense grow another year next year
and maybe build a couple more pieces. You're going to get something back for Flaherty to add to this.
Yeah, but Brian, wouldn't that be irresponsible?
Olsen's going to be healthy, too.
If it's status quo, like you would almost think if Chris doesn't want to spend, wouldn't you think he actually would want to trade Scooble? Because if you did trade Scooble and you got yourself a so-called new core, you wouldn't have to spend as much in the offseason. It would be one of those years where let's see if the kids can play type deal. And while the fan base might be a little impatient, we would see if these kids can play. If you keep Scooble, you cannot have a similar offseason. That means Chris has to spend. So if he doesn't want to spend, you probably want to trade Scooble.
But, Jeff, as your buddy Bob would say, it's the right thing to do. And you have to just let this thing play out. Aren't you sick of seeing guys like Verlander and Scherzer leave town and go have success somewhere else?
But, Brian, you're not winning with him. You had Scooble and Flaherty all year long, and you're 5.5 games out of the fake wild card.
And by the way, Brian, hold on. But by the time, you know, Scooble's contract comes up, and let's hope that the young guys are now starting to develop, you're going to have to go ahead and pay this man a ton of money, whereas right now you're in control of his contract. So that's why either you win now, or if you wait, then what was the point of waiting? Because you wasted 2 years on his arm as he's pitching for a team that has no contention of winning the World Series.
Brian, the most insulting thing you could do, at least for me, the most irresponsible thing you could do is keep Scooble, and as you say, keep everything status quo, give the offense another year to develop, and you're in the same exact spot, and you wasted a year of Tarik Scooble.
But you just said we're not winning now with him.
That's why you trade him. I would trade him in a heartbeat. The right thing to do is to trade him. And, Brian, it's right for both sides, and I appreciate the call, man. It's right for the Tigers because you can fill so many needs with one man that you might not intend to resign.
Here's what happened. For callers like Brian, I understand where he's coming from because you're sick of seeing your best players go other places and win. The problem is you're nowhere close to winning right now. So it would be irresponsible. If you're trying, let's just call it what it is. If you're trying to do this on the cheap, then trading him helps you keep it on the cheap because you have young players coming in straight out of the minor league system under player control contracts.
And it's also more beneficial for you right now and for the long-term future.
But the timelines don't match up. You can't play the young guys, but you got this Cy Young Award-winning pitcher because what you don't want is him to become the latest King Felix where all of a sudden, yeah, he's pitching great, but he's got nothing to show for it, but just individual awards and not a team trophy, not a championship, not a winning a division.
248-539-9797. People want to talk. So you heard Morosi. We hear what Cody Stavenhagen had to say, saying a rival exec told Ken Rosenthal, no way in hell they're trading Scooble. So it's not like we've never done this show before, right? Would you trade him?
Oh, boy.
Should you trade him? It's such a no-brainer for me, but it's so crazy because people that disagree with me, it's such a no-brainer for them as well.
Or I guess, or maybe even, are you okay if it happens?
Yeah, well, how do people feel? Like, what if, and I know some people do not allow themselves to think this is possible. What if Scott Harris hits it out of the freaking ballpark? Yeah. What if he makes a deal for Tarik Skubal? Well,
think about it. John Morosi said, hey, hypothetically speaking, Baltimore could be sending you back 4 or 5 players. Okay? That's a haul. That's a jackpot. Reason being,
boatload.
Let's just say only out of the 5, 2 everyday players become Major League Baseball players. That's 2 pieces of your core that you have locked up.
And the other thing, too, is like Scooble is one guy that pitches every 5th day that you're probably not going to re-sign regardless. 97 won the ticket.